God who can do the impossible. He really can. I remember, and I think about this all the time, Nancy has this coffee mug, and it simply says, expect great things of God. And I think sometimes our expectations of God are far too minimal, far too low. I mean, we are here this morning worshiping a God that created everything you see out of nothing by mere spoken word. I mean, I think this year we ought to think about how we can pray the impossible and watch God begin to do it. And I'm going to tell you, listen, even in the message series that I'm beginning today, I'm going to be sharing with you some impossible dreams that I believe my God is big enough to fulfill. I believe our God is big enough to do beyond what we can even think or imagine. And so, listen, think about this. What's an impossible prayer you can pray? Now, here's the thing. Begin to pray it. Begin to pray it. Begin to expect great things of God. Begin to look for Him to do some things that others will say, that's impossible. And we'll say, not with my God. With God, nothing is impossible. Here's the third question. You ready? And I love this one. What's the most important thing you can do to improve your family life? Now, some of you are looking at me going, well, my family life has moved on and left me, right? I'm kind of in my retirement years. You're still a family. What's one thing that you can do to improve your family life this year, to bring them closer to God, to grow as a family? What's one thing that you can do? Maybe it's just begin to worship together. Maybe privately in your home, or maybe corporately here together. Maybe that's it. Maybe as a family, you can begin to find ways that you can personally minister in your neighborhood, to your friends, to your neighbors around you. Maybe it's you can get involved in a helping ministry of some time. Maybe you can volunteer as a family to work at Austin Baptist Chapel with the soup kitchen, or at the Baptist Community Center, or some of the other ministries that we're involved in. I don't know, but what's one thing you can do to improve your family life? And here's number four. You ready? In which spiritual discipline do you most want to make progress this year? I like that. You know, sometimes, here's what happens to us. Sometimes we say, well, this year I'm going to pray more, I'm going to read my Bible more, I'm going to witness more, I'm going to go to church more, I'm going to do all these. And you know what? Before the end of the month of January, most of the time we're overwhelmed by all the I'm going to do mores we've added to our life. What's one spiritual discipline this year that you'd like to pour in to and really see God begin to grow that thing in your life? Perhaps it's your time in God's Word. Perhaps it's journaling between you and God. Maybe it's your prayer life. I don't know, it could be any number of things, but one spiritual discipline where you'd like to see God make progress in your life with you. Here's number five. What's the single biggest time waster in your life, and how can you redeem the time? Every single one of us, from the pulpit to the back wall, have some time wasters. What's the biggest time waster in your life right now? Maybe it's a cell phone, right? Facebook, social media, Twitter, you know, Instagram. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's one of those things. What's the biggest time waster in your life, and how can you redeem the time this year? You know, the truth is, maybe it is that we need to replace the time we're spending on that with one of those disciplines we just talked about. Maybe a good suggestion. Here's number six. I like this one. What's the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? Where can I step into the life of my church and God use the gifts and the talents that He's given me? Because here's what happens often in a church. Listen, I believe what God's Word says about the body of Christ, right? That He has put every single person within the body just as it pleased Him. And every single one of you in this church have gifts and talents that this church needs. That's why you're here. And listen, if you're not stepping in that place and that talent being used, we're weak and limping in that area. So think about this. I think this is such a good one right here. What's the most helpful way that I can strengthen my church this year? Oh, listen, what could God begin to do through a healthy church that is ministering and reaching this world for Jesus Christ right here where He's planted us? That's a great one. Number seven, for whose salvation will you pray most fervently this year? I like that question. For whose salvation are you going to pray most fervently this year? Who is that? Maybe it's somebody you work with, young people. Maybe it's somebody at school. Maybe it's somebody that you see all the time at the grocery store, or at the bank, or maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a family member. Who is that person? And right now, listen, think about this. When you answer that question on that bulletin there that you have and you stick that in your Bible, listen, you're going to fervently commit to praying for that person. Wouldn't that be amazing this year? I don't know how many people are here this morning. Probably getting close, pushing close to 200, 180, something like that. Can you imagine next year 180 people have come to know Jesus because you prayed for them fervently? Wow. What a powerful thing. This past year, we baptized 17 people in this church. What about 180? Would that be awesome? I'd love it. We wouldn't be able to put that tree back up there in the baptistry, would it? We'd have to have that thing open for baptism, right? So I love that. So y'all pray for that one. Here's number 8. What's the most important way, by God's grace, that you will try to make this year different from the one we just left? By God's grace, how will this year be different? What's the most important way? We're going to talk about some of that this morning in the message God's laid on my heart. Here's number 9. What one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? Maybe it's start to pray, right? But what's one thing you could do this year just to improve your prayer life? And here's the 10th one. What single thing can you plan to do this year that will matter most in 10 years? And in eternity. Aren't those good things to think about? I mean, right here at the beginning of the year, to get your head around and just begin to kind of let those things mull around in your head and kind of begin to think about, God, what is it that you want to do in my life this year? What do you want to accomplish through me? I am yours. I belong to you. I love the song Bethany sing, "Let it be that for me to live is Christ." And I believe that it can be played out in those 10 things, can it? For us to really surrender our life to Him in those 10 things that we've listed. So let me just challenge you with that. That's kind of a side note. You haven't even gotten the sermon yet. So I don't know how long we're going to be here, but we're going to give it a go, right? I like that. Who said amen? Thank you, ma'am. She must have packed a lunch, right? I guess she did. Hang on to those 10 things. Challenge yourself with them. I would love to see what God does in the life of our church through believers who took those 10 things very seriously. And so I like that. You know, it's that time of the year, isn't it, when we start to make resolutions. And maybe you've already done them. Maybe you don't want to admit to it. But how many in here have made some New Year's resolutions this year? Anybody? You can raise your hand, Kim, even if you and I are the only two. Anybody make New Year's resolutions? I know some of you are going, "I don't believe in them." And I know why you don't believe in them, right? Right? There's a reason we don't believe in them. Why don't we believe in them? Yeah, that's right. We have a hard time keeping them. I read an article this week that kind of had that, why are New Year's resolutions so easy to break? So I'm like, you know, because that's the truth. We don't like to admit we make them because then we got to admit we break them, right? And so thank you, Kim, for being brave. But Kim's going, yeah, I get it. In this article, it said this, 35% of us who make New Year's resolutions break them by the end of January. Now, I don't know how they found out that statistic, but in here, I would say that percentage is much higher by what I saw, right? Here's the next statistic, and it said this, only 23% of everyone who makes a resolution will see it through to completion. Only 23%, that's pretty low. And then I read this one that says 77% who make resolutions will find that they've given up on them before they ever really got started. So, and that's the reality. But why is that? I think there could be a lot of reasons. I think sometimes we get overzealous in our goals, right? We set that goal way up here really high, and we start off the first couple of days really ambitious, and we're hitting it hard, and within about 2 days, we're tired of it, right? Overzealous goals. And that kind of makes me think of the second one, overcommitment, right? I mean, we commit to these things wholeheartedly, but pretty soon reality comes home, right? And we realize, I'm not going to be able to keep up with that. Or maybe it's this third one, busyness. Well, I just got so busy, I forgot to do it. And then I forgot to do it again and again and again and again, and pretty soon it's gone. Busyness sometimes keeps us from fulfilling those things. Or most of us, we just have a lack of follow-through, if we were just to be honest. That's another one. Or maybe this one, wrong resolutions. Maybe we've set the wrong resolutions. You see, I don't think there's anything wrong with resolutions. I think the new year is a new page for us, right? It's an opportunity to start things fresh. I love those 10 things that I just gave you at the beginning from John Piper's Desiring God. I think those are powerful things. Wouldn't it be outstanding if we could see God begin to do some things through those 10 things in our life that sort of serve as some type of resolution for us? It's not that resolutions are a bad thing. It's that we're just bad at keeping them most of the time. And maybe that's because we focus on the wrong things. Maybe we make our resolutions about things that really don't matter much. God's laid a message, a series of messages on my heart that I want to share with you beginning today. And not all of this message is going to be about New Year's resolution, but here's what it's going to be about. I believe that God's people ought to be a people of vision. I really do. I believe that we ought to have a vision. And what a great title for a new series, 2020 Vision. It's appropriate for a couple of reasons, right? Because it's the year 2020. I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking, you know, when I was a kid, if you had mentioned the words 2020, I would have thought science fiction. Space Odyssey 2000, right? I mean, that's already come and gone. Or Buck Rogers in the 21st century, right? I mean, that was my kid's way of thinking. I would have thought 2020, I'll never see it. But here we are. 2020. Wow, do I feel old, right? I love Mr. Searcy when he came in this morning. He said, what are you, about 40? I said, yeah, 20 years ago, you know. Yeah, I'm Buck Rogers in the 21st century. That's me. So 2020 Vision, this new series we're going to start. But also, we know what 2020 Vision is, right? It's perfect vision. 2020 Vision is what I used to have back when I dreamed about Buck Rogers, right? I'm not going to see that 2020 again probably ever in my lifetime, even though medical science is making great advances on eye care, right? I mean, I've lost the 2020. I lost that way back in my 30s. 2020. So this series of messages that God's laid on my heart, I always sort of share a series, because here's what I believe. As you read God's word, as you peruse through it, the people in this book were people who had a vision. They were people of vision. And I believe more than anything else right now for us as a church and as believers, we ought to be a people of vision. But not just any vision. Not focused on the wrong resolutions. It ought to be focused 2020 on the right thing. Where does our vision come from? Who should it be? Who ought we to be following? Who ought to give us the visions and the dreams and the purpose in our life? Because here's what I really believe with all of my heart. It's not about what Buddy comes up with us to do as a church. Or what our deacons come up with to do as a church. It's not about that. It's not about Trey's dreams and visions for our young people. It's not about that. Listen, our vision needs to be God's vision. It's His vision we ought to be following. I love what Henry Blackaby said when he said this. We need to be watching to see where God is working and join Him there in that work. That's what we need to be doing. Watch to see where God is working and join Him in His work. What's 2020 vision? It's catching His vision. That's the perfect vision. It's catching the vision He has for us. It's following Him in that. Here's another statement from Henry Blackaby that I think is so powerful and telling. He says this, you cannot stay where you are and go with God. You cannot continue doing things your way and accomplish God's purposes and His ways. You get it? What do we need? His vision. 2020 vision. You cannot stay where you are and go with God. You cannot continue doing things your way and accomplish God's purposes in His way. Your thinking cannot come close to God's thoughts. For you to do the will of God, you must adjust your life to Him, His purposes, His ways. Can I buddyize that? You need to find 2020 vision, His vision. That's what this series is going to be about. And I'm so thankful that God's word kind of leads us into that and kind of shows us what that looks like for our life. Now, this morning, in the first message that I want to share with you, and guys, listen, don't be really seriously. I'm being serious. Don't panic this morning. You're probably only going to get one point, okay? So it's okay. But there's a couple of things I want to do this morning to kind of lay the groundwork for this series of messages, because this morning, I've kind of titled the first message in the series, A Vision That Pleases God. Oh, listen, if I could just stop there and say to you and as a church, the prayer of our heart ought to be, God, give us a vision that pleases you. I don't want to have Buddy's vision for the church. I want to have your vision for the church. And listen, let's personalize that. God, in my life, I can set resolutions, I can set goals, I can set dreams of things that I want to accomplish, but here's what I want. I want a vision that pleases you for my life. I want to follow you in my life. I want to go where you want to take me. I want to see where you're working in my life, and I want to join you there. I want to get on your agenda, your plan, your vision for me. You see, what I see in this is you and I saying, God, I surrender all to you and what you want for us. And I like that. I got to tell you, I personally believe that's the safest place for you to be as a believer and for us to be as a church, right there where God wants us. Where we're following him, not a man, not man-made schemes, not man-made programs and ideas and agendas, not driven by what we want, driven by what he wants and where he's working. That's where I want us to go. And so for the next few weeks, here's what we're going to be doing in this series, 2020 Vision. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. Because listen, you've heard that whole chapter preached in a lot of different ways, but here's what I see. As I was studying the faith chapter, getting kind of looking at it, you know what I saw when I read the faith chapter? I went, you know, every one of those names that were listed in there were people who had a vision. And they had a vision of God, a vision given to them by God. They were headed in a direction. And listen, they became great leaders of the faith. Why? Because they had a faith vision. They had a vision based on faith. And I love that. And so this 2020 vision, listen, it has to be based on faith. Now, there's a couple of passages of Scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning. So I want you to kind of find both of these. So you want to be finding Hebrews chapter 11, because we're going to be there just a little bit in verses 1 through 6. But I also want you to find 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So be finding both of those two places. And basically, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're just going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you. My wife keeps me straight. I need that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one verse that I'm going to have you underline there, and a section of that, and I want you to see this, because this is so important for us when we're talking about casting a vision. And again, this is kind of just introducing this series this morning, and I want you to see this because I love what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I think this is so important for us to understand what our vision needs to be like. Look at what he says here. Here's what he says. For we as believers, Christians, he's speaking to Christians here. For we as believers walk by faith and not by sight. Now I love that. And when I read that verse again and God kind of put it in my heart, that's going to kind of be one of our launching texts for this series. And when I heard it, I kind of went, you know, when you hear the words 2020 vision, you think of perfect sight, right? And what that verse essentially says, yeah, but by Christians, our sight is different. Our sight is not based on physical sight. It's based on what? Faith. Faith. That's huge to me. That's why, listen, what impossible prayer can you pray? How can I say that? If you're basing it on sight, I can't. We're limited by what we can see. And our sight is very limited. But if we're basing it on faith, our faith is in a God that is bigger than anything we can even dream up. It really is. So I love that. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. So when you start talking about a 2020 vision in a spiritual sense, when you begin to kind of put that in that context, you're kind of going, listen, I need to begin to see in this vision with eyes of faith rather than fleshly eyes. Because my fleshly eyes are going to limit what I can do. You see, here's the truth of the matter, and I believe this in my whole ministry. If I operated by sight, I never would have gone into the ministry. Because I recognized right off when God first called me that I was overwhelmed by this. There is no way I told God that I could stand in a pulpit and preach, ever. When I went to seminary, that's the very last class I took in seminary, because the one thing I did not want to do is preach. I don't want to stand in a pulpit and preach. And I'm telling you that every single Sunday that I step in this pulpit and preach, it is not by sight, it is by faith. That's it. Because I can't, he can. He can do what you think you can't. And this morning, listen to me, I don't know what God's wanting to do in your life, but some of you are overwhelmed by what you think he's calling you to, and that's okay as long as you begin to operate by faith rather than sight. and recognize, you know what? I can't, but he can. I don't have to have the vision physically, sight, to be able to accomplish something. And let me translate this over for you a little bit into our church life. This year, you as a church are going to be challenged with some things that are going to be beyond your comprehension. You're going to hear some things this year. You're going to be challenged with some things this year. And you're going to go, God, I don't know how we're even capable of doing that. We're just little old First Baptist Church of Buda. I don't know how we can do that. And listen, I believe we need to change our vocabulary. We need to be able to say, God, how are you going to do that? And then stand back and watch him do it. Our vision cannot be limited by our sight. Our vision has to be based on faith. And I love that. And that's kind of where we're headed in this series of messages. I love Corrie Ten Boom, don't you? The Hiding Place. Don't you love her? That story. I'm probably aging myself with that one because I go way back when I mentioned The Hiding Place. But Corrie Ten Boom, outstanding. Corrie Ten Boom had this great way of kind of defining faith, walking by faith instead of sight. And she defined faith with an acrostic. Every letter stood for one of the letters in the word faith. And she defined faith as a fantastic adventure in trusting him. I like that. Isn't that what we're talking about when we talk about catching God's vision, having 2020 vision? It is that God, and are you ready for this? Listen, church, Christian, this morning sitting in this place, are you ready for a fantastic adventure in trusting him? Are you? I am. I think God's brought us right up to the threshold, and he's saying, are you ready to step over the threshold? Are you ready for a fantastic adventure in trusting him? I am. I think we need to be sitting in our seats this morning going, yes, 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 yes. Yes, Lord, give me eyes of faith. Help me to catch that 2020 vision before you. And I want to just think about, if you're there in 2 Corinthians 5:7, I want you just to think about that for a second, because I know it's a short verse, and I'm not really one that usually just kind of takes one little verse kind of out of context, sort of, but I want you to think about this just a little bit. Because I want you to think about what Paul is saying here, because we're starting this message today on having 2020 vision. We're trying to define it. Now I'm telling you that 2020 vision is really not vision at all, but it's faith. Okay, and what do we mean by that? What did Paul mean by that? And I want you to kind of put it in this kind of context, because listen, Christian, we need to be asking God to expose those areas of our life where our lives are being running by our sight rather than his sight. Where our lives are kind of being held back and kind of being kept from accomplishing great things for him because we're kind of fixated on walking by sight rather than walking by faith, that perfect 2020 vision. Walking by sight means living out of human sufficiency, human resources, human wisdom, human ingenuity, human calculations. You get what I'm saying? If you're walking by sight in your life, and many of us are, let's just be honest, I'll fix it, I'll take care of it, I'll do this myself, right? If you're walking by sight in what you can see, you're depending on yourself, human sufficiency, human resources, human wisdom, human ingenuity, human calculations. We try to do that all the time. Every year we make resolutions based on our dreams and visions and aspirations, and those things fizzle out. Why? Because they're based on our ability to do it. They're never going to make it, right? They fizzle out. On the other hand, if we are walking by faith with this kind of perfect 2020 vision as a believer, we're depending on Christ's sufficiency. We're depending on God's resources, which are what? Well, how do we sing it? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And more than that, right? We're depending on Christ, God's power. He is all-powerful. You name it, he can do it. He can. We're depending on Christ's direction, God's direction. We're depending on his enablement, not our own. You see the difference? I mean, listen to me. If we can just catch that kind of vision. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 118. This is such a simple psalm, but it's really so true. And think about this. The psalmist says this. He simply says it. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Is that pretty basic? It is better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in a man. What's that saying? We walk by faith and not by sight. We are to follow Him. And as we approach this new year in 2020 and our vision is kind of right before us, like, God, what do you want to do in us this year? What do you want to do through us? He's brought us right up to that threshold. God, what things would you like to accomplish? It's more than that. It's more than that. It's you and I catching His vision. It's you and I seeing what He wants us to see. It's seeing beyond what we can see. And it's us having a fresh vision that pleases Him. And what is that? You ready? Are you in Hebrews? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Just the first six verses today. And really, I'm going to kind of focus on the very last verse I read there, verse 6, because I want you to see this. We're talking about a vision that pleases Him. And you can answer that question, what kind of vision pleases Him, with one word, and you'll see it. You ready? Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, listen to this, of things not seen. Give me that kind of vision, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith that is, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. There's that word again. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? You get it? By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. And we'll get more into that as we continue in our series, 2020 Vision, and talking about what's he telling us about the faith of Abel there, and we'll kind of lean into that one in the next few weeks. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What kind of vision was that? That vision that God took him. And we're going to talk about Enoch here in the coming weeks. And here's verse 6 that we're going to focus on this morning a little bit. He says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can I ask you the question this morning? Just think about this. What kind of vision pleases God? One word. Faith. A faith vision. A faith vision. Now, I'm going to put that in your head because that's going to be a lead-in for this entire series. If I want to have a vision that pleases God, it is not by sight, it's by faith. It's by faith in Him. So here's the one point you're going to get today. You ready? Here's what that looks like. Here's what that means. A vision that pleases God is based on faith and not sight means believing even when we can't seem to see it. Got that? That's the only point you're going to get today. So kind of hang out there with me for just a second. Think about that. What is a vision that pleases God? One word, faith, right? And so what does that look like? What does this kind of vision look like for us? It means believing even when you can't seem to see it. Now, I think about that a lot in my own life. I think there are so many things that God is doing in and around us that God wants to do. And when Buddy looks at a lot of things, even for us as a church sometimes, I go, God, I just don't see a way. I just don't see it. Like, I don't see how that's going to happen. Can I just tell you that, and Wesley Roach can kind of back me up on this, and others on that new ad hoc committee can back me up on this. About 2 years ago, I thought, I don't see a way that the city of Buda will ever budge, ever, and let us build what we want to build, ever. But you know what? They did. They did. And don't you let any of us take credit for that. I don't dare. That's a God thing. It's a God thing. See, it's believing even when you can't see it. And can I just tell you, that's a terrible example. Because there are far greater things than that going on in your life and in my life. And some of us are up to here with doubts. God, where are you? Why haven't you answered that prayer? Where are you? I can't see it, God. We're crying out with that. And the whole time God is saying, catch the vision. Catch my perfect 2020 vision. And by faith, know that you need to believe even when you can't see it. Now some of you go, that just don't sound right to me. That sounds like blind faith. That sounds like a blind leap in the dark. I read this story this week. One night a house caught fire, and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. And the father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, jump, son, I'll catch you. He knew the house was going to collapse under his son if his son didn't jump soon, and he had to jump to save his life. But all the little boy could see up on top of the house were flames and smoke and blackness, and he could not see the father down below, even though he could hear him. And he could just imagine jumping into that darkness and falling and falling and falling to his death. His father kept yelling, jump, Johnny, jump, I will catch you. But the boy kept protesting, but Daddy, I can't see you. And finally the father replied, but I can see you, son, and that's all that matters. Now, I thought about that story, and I thought about what God must be saying to us. He must be saying, jump, 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 and we're saying, but I can't see you. I can't see how. I don't see how this can be. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen this millions of times in my life, my short almost 60 years, right? I've seen God do what I could not see over and over and over and over, and some of you have too. You've seen him do what you couldn't see at the time. You've seen him do it. You give testimony to it. You know there's a time when what do we have to do? But I can't see you, God. But I can see you. That's all that matters. And I believe that for some of us, we need to jump. Today, we need to just take our hands off and jump. We need to trust him. We need to recognize it's time for us to step into that fantastic adventure in trusting him, as Corrie ten Boom says. It's time for us to step over the threshold and say, God, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't even know if I really believe it all anymore. But by faith, right, I'm going to believe even when I can't see it, because you've proven yourself true over and over again. Early Christian father and Christian theologian Augustine said this: faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. As I thought about that, that's what I want in this new year. Isn't it you? I don't have to see it, God. I just want to believe you for it. And I want to have that kind of faith that may not see it. Faith is to believe what you don't see. But I believe this year we can see it. We can begin to see it because we believed it. I believe that. I am so excited about this series of messages and where we're headed in this. I believe that God is good and that he's going to provide us with all that we need as a church. He always has. But I want to just give you these practical things as we kind of close this morning, kind of close out this first message very quickly. I want to just give these things to you. I want to talk to you about how to practically live with this kind of faith walking vision. How do you do it? Just a couple of things here. These are so simple and so basic, but this is what you got to do. If we're going to step over the threshold, you ready? Here it is. You practice living with faith walking vision by giving your time to the Lord. Time you may think you don't have. Give your time to him. You know what I'm telling you to do there? Start right now. I mean, we began with those 10 things from Dr. John Piper and desiring God. Start right now and saying, God, I'm going to give you my time this year. I'm going to spend time with you in prayer, praying for what I cannot see. Praying for the impossible, praying for you to work in my church, praying for you to work in my family, praying those impossible prayers. I'm going to begin right now. I'm going to give you time. I'm going to spend time in your word, catching your vision from your word. I'm going to spend time there. I'm going to spend time worshiping this God who created everything out of nothing by mere spoken word. I'm going to give you my time. That's where it starts, okay? And then here's the next one. You practice living by faith walking vision by giving your resources that you think you don't have. And that's not just talking about money. Everybody goes, oh, here he goes. He's going to talk about money. Y'all know I don't do that very much, right? Hardly ever, if ever. Some of you are going, he never preaches on that. Give your resources. I'm talking about all that you are, your gifts, your talents, your skills. There's some of us in this church that have gifts and talents that ought to be being used by the Lord, and we're sitting on them. We need to begin to give them to them. That's a part of moving forward, jumping forward in faith. And you go, but I'm scared. I don't have that kind of confidence. I wish I had the confidence that Bethany had to stand up here and sing. And Bethany, that's hard to do, isn't it? It's not easy. That's a faith thing. It's not easy to sit at that piano and play like that every week, is it? There's two of them right there that do that every week. It's not easy. But God has given them a gift and a talent that they have to use forward for him to cast that vision, right? So that's important. We need to give our, are you willing to give your resources to him? That is all that you are to all that he is. Or what about this one? You practice living with faith, walking vision by giving your energy that you think you don't have. But God, I'm tired. I'm weary. I've done my time, right? I've already served there. I don't need to be working in children's church anymore. I'm past that. Really? Are we really? Can I tell you when you get to retire? Never. Never. I used to hear preachers say sometimes, well, you get to retire later when you get to heaven. No, you don't. You get to heaven and you are, all you're going to want to do is spend every bit of energy you have there worshiping him. I promise you. That's what you're going to want to do. You and I don't get to retire. We get to keep going. It is our privilege to get to serve a God who gave everything for us, and we can never give enough back to him. How can I serve you, Lord? What can I do? Give all of your energy to him. And here's the last one. You practice living by faith, walking vision, by giving your very life to him. So we're going to sing it. We're going to sing it. I surrender all. I surrender all. I'm going to ask our instrumentalists to come and just begin to play our hymn of invitation. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. What a great song for a new year, isn't it? Can you imagine if we start right now saying, God, I'm going to surrender all that I am to all that you are in this new year. I'm ready to step across the threshold. I want to catch your vision. I want to follow you. I want to be where you want me to be in this new year. And listen, I'm excited about this series of messages because, listen, we know what the key to having a vision that pleases him is, isn't it? It's faith. Believing even when you can't see it and surrendering fully to him. Would you stand with us this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation? I surrender all. If you need to come this morning, maybe you need to come to this altar and say at this altar, God, I surrender all to you. My time, my energy, my resources. Maybe you need to join this church this morning. You come. Maybe this is a place for you. If God's spoken to your heart and you need to come, you come as we sing.